My name is Victor Kubik, President of the United Church of God. Welcome to Inside United. Today, I'm in early Texas with longtime friends, Stan Erickson and his wife, Judy. We have known Stan, I've known Stan for 54 years, and I thought it'd be wonderful to kind of talk about some of our experiences. He's currently the pastor of the church in Coleman, Texas, and also the congregation in Waco, Texas. Welcome to Inside United.
Thank you, Vic, and it's certainly a pleasure to have you here in our home to visit again.
It's great here, and his wife, Judy.
Hello, it's so nice to be with you, Vic. Thank you.
We've just had a very enjoyable morning reminiscing over many, many years, and it's amazing that Stan is one of the very first people that I had met in my church experience. I met him in Minneapolis in August of 1965. I had just been accepted to Ambassador College. I attended my first church service, and I was walking out of the church building with Stan Erickson, and he was headed for California to be a student himself. And we were talking, and he said, "I'm driving out there. You need a ride?" A ride from Minneapolis, St. Paul, all the way to California. And I said, "Well, I don't know." At that time, I didn't even go that year. I went a year later. But that's when I first met Stan. I can see him right now, right in front of me, as we walk down the sidewalk on First Avenue. It's just south of Lake Street in Minneapolis. And our relationship has continued through many, many different experiences. So anyway, Stan, tell me, maybe we could pick up from that conversation we had in August of 1965, kind of where have things gone?
Well, from our conversation there in old Laidlaw Hall, I left for Pasadena a short time later to be a freshman at Ambassador College and start out a whole new experience in my life. Is a highlight of my life, actually, to go to AC and be part of the, you know, the work that was going on there under Mr. Armstrong at that time.
One thing that has made me want to make this conversation or to have this conversation is that after 54 years, to me, that one thing that stands out from Stan and Judy is faithfulness, because we went to college together. I went a year later. We kind of caught up, and then we knew each other there. And then after college, you know, we went our separate ways, but still kind of knew who we were. But then Stan and I were drawn back together again, working together in southern Minnesota. Maybe you can tell us about some of the jobs that you've had and a little bit of your, some of the journey that you have taken, maybe a little bit of your, the maze of your life.
Yeah, it certainly turned out to be a maze in many aspects. All right, of course, we went in 65, went to college, and we stayed in Pasadena where I met Judy, and we got married in 69. But I worked in transportation there for about 10 years as a student and as a full-time employee of the church, and until 1975 when we moved back to Minnesota to start a car dealership with some other friends and acquaintances and co-workers there in Pasadena. From there, I went to working for a farm equipment manufacturer as a district manager and moved to southern Minnesota, and then was transferred to South Dakota, which was one of our favorite places that we've lived in our married life, in Sioux Falls area, and all the wonderful people there. And of course, it was about 4 to 5 degrees warmer than Minneapolis where I was, so in the wintertime. So we were in the banana belt there to start with. And from there, I guess we went to Florida for a short time, worked as an associate pastor down there.
Oh, I thought that was before then, but that was actually after Sioux Falls.
After Sioux Falls, yeah. We moved from there to Florida and then back out to Pasadena for another 5-year stint, and worked in various departments there, traveled, business office, and ended up in human resources.
Okay, so you human resources as well.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. What job hadn't you done there?
Well, ones that make you rich, I guess.
Okay, we've got to make a little chart here.
No, it's been a real experience, and we've gone from one thing to another. And after we moved to, went back to Tulsa, I guess, Tulsa, Oklahoma, to do some more, 1995, do some work for the church. And of course, everything blew up there. And we went from doing, you know, running another car lot to cleaning toilets. So we started a janitorial business there and traveled all over most of the state of Kansas servicing public restrooms. So it's been one experience to the other.
Well, one of the most memorable times that we worked together, and I'd like to kind of have some of your impressions from this, is when you were in southern Minnesota and you were living in Fairmont. And I was the pastor of the church in Mankato, Minnesota, and you were an elder for that church. Yeah. And it seemed like for, I don't know how many years, but we just were always down there with you and the other elder, who at that time was not an elder, Ron Peterson.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Marlis. Yeah. And I just remember that our threesome here was the one that managed that church of many, many interesting people.
Like Crystal first, and then Mankato, right?
Oh, okay, I didn't realize
that. And when we were in Lake Crystal, you met Beverly.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so you see, our lives just intertwine so much. You know, we kind of enter and exit each other's lives, but we have still, you know, stayed very true to our friendship. But Lake Crystal, I remember that church that we held in the basement of a grade school.
Yes. Yeah. One of the more interesting aspects of the Lake Crystal Church, too, was that for songs, you know, accompaniment for songs, we had two different individuals that would play accordion. So we didn't have a piano player until our daughters took up piano. But anyway, they'd play be an accordion to accompany hymns, church hymns. Yes.
Right. One of them was Marlis. I remember Ben Carroll's.
Yeah.
And I remember little Marlis, you know, had this huge accordion pumping those things.
Yeah.
But I remember about the church, one of the highlights was it was a smaller church, even though by today's standards it's probably a large church. We had less than 100 people, so we thought that was a small church. But I remember that it was a cradle of developing people.
Yeah.
And one of them was developing some of our kids, including your daughter.
Yes, very much so.
Crystal. And frankly, I give a lot of credit to my wife, Bev, who kind of pushed these kids to do things like accompany, you know, hymns on the piano.
Yeah.
And I remember Crystal kind of pushed her. Then there's another one called Angela, I remember, you know.
Yes.
Knudsen,
you know. And then we found out that after a couple of years, and one of the beautiful things about our working in that church is that we weren't there just for a few months. It was a couple of years we worked together. Yeah. So we had a chance to watch these kids grow. And so we had our young kids that became teenagers. They're all of a sudden, they were in these youth talent contests and winning. And partially is because these experiences allowed them to gain confidence, you know, be able to play and perform and so forth. And when we had your 50th wedding anniversary here a few months ago, to see Crystal just professionally playing the piano, you know, with that song that she dedicated to you. You know what I thought about? I just thought about her playing hymns in Minneapolis.
Yes.
You know, back at that time. So those were very, very happy memories, you know, how the church had developed. But I know that you were very, very helpful in working with people that were needed special help and attention, you know, some of the elderly people. But they were all loved very much, and they knew that they were. And I remember one particular woman, even before you, you know, from down in southern Minnesota, she used to come to Minneapolis by bus all the time, by a Greyhound bus to church, you know, spent probably most of the Sabbath day making connections, getting to the bus station, having somebody pick her up to go to church. It was truly a story of faithfulness, you know, somebody who saw the need to obey God, to do what was right, and would set aside all types of inconveniences to be able to do those things. Yeah. Then we were back with her down there, and all these people are now resting in the ground waiting for the resurrection.
Yeah. Yes.
But it's a story of seeing people who have had these experiences and who set an example for all people.
Yes, absolutely. They're committed, absolutely committed to God's way of life. Mm-hmm. And they just, you know, shared it with each other in the congregation, helped each other, and, you know, at that time, I guess we were kind of out in the middle of nowhere, you know, or no metro areas around, but, you know, it was one big happy family.
I'd like you to tell me both were some of your happy memories, you know, of your experience? I know that it's a broad question to talk about 50 years. You've just said 50 years of marriage, but your life has been tied with the church. And frankly, I believe that for all of us, as we go back, one thing that has really kept us as close of friends as we are is by retaining the same faith, you know, and not bailing or not walking away or not giving up, but enduring. And I know that I look upon where we were back in 1965 and here we are in 2019. It's that same bond that we had to no matter what people have done or what people have said or what actions others have taken, you know, that we have stayed true to what we have. Not that we're that great, but we just did.
Yes.
And maybe you can talk about that.
Well, I think from my particular case, going to college in 1965, I caught Mr. Armstrong's vision of, we had a mission. We were on a crusade to do something, to preach the gospel to the world. And, you know, I personally got caught up in that and thought that was, you know, just a real highlight of my life that we were able to participate in whatever aspect it was. You know, I remember after at sundown on the Sabbath, we'd all go down to the gymnasium or someplace and stuff envelopes or, you know, just all kinds of projects like that. And the people were committed to the mission that was at hand at that time. And I think that is, you know, it kind of stayed with me all these years. And it's an impetus for me to get up in the morning, too, and just continue on with what we learned back in those days.
Well, I know that no matter what we did, we felt like we were doing the work.
Yes, absolutely.
Some of the first things I remember, we had this huge letter that was to be sent out from Pasadena, and we were there like for two nights stuffing the letter. And I think Mr. Armstrong wanted to have a first class stamp on it or something. And so we actually had to stick the stamp on it. thousands of letters, because he wanted it to look very, very personal. And yet we felt like we were contributing to a greater cause.
Yes, absolutely. We're on a mission. Yeah. I look at it back as it was a mission that everybody kind of bought into at that time, and hopefully it stayed with it to this time. I think you and I have.
Well, and our families. I think we've always felt like we understood the why we're here.
Yeah, exactly. It's something that's bigger than us individually. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a crusade that, you know, it's just, like I said, it's just bigger than any one individual, just a group thing that we all need to buy into and have bought into and, you know, continue to do so for the last 50-some years.
Well, I've been talking with Stan. I think that we need to have a few words with Judy about her faith, because she is so much a part of Stan, and I think for all eternity we're going to relate to each other in this way.
Yes. Well, some of my happiest times have been, you know, raising our family. When I first learned that I was accepted to Ambassador College and, you know, would be leaving home, which I had never been farther than like 150 miles from home at 18, then, you know, I knew I was going to get to go to Ambassador College and be with others that had like beliefs. And it was always the most exciting thing in the world to me to go to Ambassador. And I think I still think back and think about how those were such good years, and have so many great memories about all the friends that we made, and still stay in contact with so many. And then, you know, meeting my husband in Pasadena, and we got married, had our kids there, and then, you know, we were able to stick together. And wherever the church was, we'd move close to the church when we'd move, which we moved several times through our lives. I think it's about 35.
I know that you had this huge hutch that went almost to the ceiling. I remember seeing it in so many different houses.
Right. And finally, when we left Wichita, Kansas, we left it in that house.
I was wondering what the last resting place was.
But anyway, having God's ways in our lives as far as, you know, knowing how to raise our kids, at least we thought, you know, that we were doing the best we could. And we feel like we have two of the best kids. But anyway, it's been so good, you know, being in the church.
Yeah. Thank you, Judy. I know that this is, you know, this is our life, you know, this is our life. And as we look upon it with sacrifices and the ecstasy, but also some of the agony that's there. You know, that it was never promised to be an easy road.
No. Was it the old country western song, didn't promise you a rose garden? I didn't realize there were so many thorns, though. But anyway, I think a big lesson that I personally have learned from the ups and downs, and there's been several, is that, you know, no matter what happens, God's got something better down the road for you, and you just got to keep looking toward the future and looking and be appreciative for what you have at the moment, because you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. But in our lives so far, every change has been for the better.
Well, you certainly have been an example to me. You really have, because there are people that have just not stayed the course. And when people separate from one another, away from a common goal, it just isn't the same.
No.
And with Stan, I still remember walking down First Avenue with him.
Yeah.
And the feeling that I have with Stan is just the same one that goes back then. Well, I hope that you've enjoyed listening a little bit to the story about Stan and Judy Erickson. He is the pastor of the church in Coleman in Waco, Texas. And we appreciate the work that he and his wife both have contributed to the church, not only in the administration aspect of the church, but also the pastoring of the individuals who do need care. So thank you for joining us Inside United. We hope that you've enjoyed this podcast. Come back and join us again for more.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org.